All right. So on the Mind of a Football Coach podcast, we have Coach Kilby from Liberty Hill. Coach, welcome.
Great to be here, Coach.
Coach, before the podcast, the story of how you met Coach Bartik at Fairmont Senior is that's an awesome story. Please retell that, 'cause that's too good.
So, certainly a different one from the normal football connections and stuff, I'm sure. But no, I've gone to church. I say gone to church for close to 4 years now, just after COVID hit, a small little church in Fairmont called Hillview Baptist. It's not really Baptist, but it's definitely a King James Bible believing church, with, I think, the greatest preacher on earth. And I'm not elevating a man, but Paul Lucas is just a wonderful preacher there. But I went up there to visit, second time I've been up there. And the other family I was staying with live right near Fairmont Senior High. Their one son goes there. And I just decided, I had some time one morning, and I decided to go for a walk, grab a coffee at McDonald's type of thing. And I walked down the street, saw this amazing old, it's like a 120-year-old high school. And I just, you got that football coach has got that connection. I thought, man, I'll just walk into the front office and ask for the head football coach. And he was down doing some form of lunch duty or something, and or a lunch detention or something. And I went down, hung out with him for about 45 minutes. We had a great talk. I had no idea I was walking into. I'm not real familiar with West Virginia football. What a successful program I was walking into! Like, they're just seems like they win a state championship almost every other year. So it's pretty cool.
Yes, Coach Bartik does a really good job there, like you guys do at Liberty Hill. He
No,
is
it sounded
awesome.
like it.
He is one of a kind too. He's one of one.
One,
He's one of one, man. Like
yeah.
he's his own person, and I love it about him. He's just a good fella.
That's a good way to be.
Absolutely, Coach. So, Coach, for people that don't know, please give the listener a little bit of background about yourself, and then we'll rock and roll from there.
Yeah, I've got a strange journey. I won't go into it too deep, but I'm originally from Canada, and
Oh, wow.
I coached college football there for 4 years at my alma mater, and I knew I wanted to get to the U.S. to coach high school football. It seemed like all roads led to Texas for me, and I've been, this is my 27th year in Texas, and I've been involved in the SWAT team the whole time, and I just love the offense. Been a head coach, for about 6 or 7 years, and I'm assistant at Liberty Hill. We run the SWAT team offense, and it's Liberty Hill, long before I got there, it's kind of the mecca of the SWAT tee. They've been running it for 23 years, and the town itself was the high school itself was just an also ran before Jerry Vance and Jeff Walker got there 23 years ago. Jerry being the head coach, Jeff Walker the offensive coordinator, they were everybody's homecoming. They'd go 2-8, and they go 4-6, and people thought it was a great year. And they came in and put the SWAT tee in and just had immediate success. And it's been a long-running deal. I think we've been in 12 semifinals in 23 years or something. It's been quite a run.
Man, Coach, that's awesome. So, what part of Canada?
I'm from Sarnia, Ontario, just a little north of Detroit, Michigan, just over the border.
Okay.
Yeah.
I spent a little bit of time in Detroit as a kid.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting place.
Yes, it is. It definitely is. So Texas, I mean, I've heard other people's stories. Like, what you were just drawn to Texas. Like, I want to go coach high school football in Texas because it's Texas. Is that kind of how?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's
Okay.
funny, I think back in the day, this is late in 1996, 97. I started looking into it, and the advent of the internet. I mean, there's an old coaches magazine that used to go out in the US with like coaching jobs. A magazine went out once a month.
Oh,
So
wow.
funny to think now, like jobs are, people in this kids know who's hired before before it's even made public now,
Yeah.
or when a coach is resigning. This is when things are a whole month behind. You had to wait for this magazine. I went up to California and interviewed a couple places there, Roseville and stuff, a couple schools there just north of Sacramento. But it just my brother had coached before me in Texas, so I kind of had that inroad. He's now in North Carolina coaching, but he had that helped me with that inroad a little bit and got my foot in the door. And it did it people can argue all day long about where the most talent is, Georgia or Florida or California or Texas. And for me, it was a lot of talent in Texas, but it was the process that goes into it. It's the massive staffs. It's the huge stadiums, all the money, the resources, the equipment, you know, having an athletic period, a varsity athletic period, a freshman athletic period where kids are doing football every day, all year round, and all the coaches are in those periods with the kids every day. It's things like that that just really drew me towards Texas. They do it right there and here in Texas.
And it's so unique. I coached in Georgia for a couple seasons, and it was good, but it's not like what you're describing. I mean, it's just a completely different thing. it's its own thing.
It really is. I've been here 27 years and it still amazes me. It hasn't worn off. The giant stadiums, the size of the staffs, the you know, just the support the communities give you, it's pretty amazing. And I know there's great programs in every state, you know, and some of them have amazing facilities and things and all kinds of stuff going on. It just seems like Texas, it's kind of across the board. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who's a coach here in West Virginia that has been out, I think, to Texas a couple of times, and he's always talking about wanting to go there. And I mean, it's like the movie Friday Night Lights that came out years ago.
Yeah.
And people are just like, oh my gosh, that's just, it's hard to fathom in like where I'm at West Virginia, you know, right currently. And then I'm about to move to Maryland, but it's not even, and Texas is just, like you said, we've talked, it's just a different league.
Yeah, I got that feel talking to Coach Furtick, you know, and just I don't big time, or, you know, he runs an amazing program. I look at it as an outsider. I'm still amazed by Texas, but we were sharing stories and, you know, state championship games, telling me about some great close game they had, and just asking, is it a neutral site? You know, things like that. He said, yeah, and described it. He said there's about, you know, close to 5,000 people there. And we played 2021 against South Oak Cliff at Jerry World, and there's 47,000 people there. And that's we're four levels from the top, you know, 681, 682, 581, we're 582. So, you know, there's even larger crowds coming to the games after our game, but it was a real big crowd because South Oak Cliff is an inner city Dallas school, and the inner city school hadn't been there in like 50 years. So a lot of people were supporting them, but even if not, there would have been 35 or 40,000 people there.
Yeah. A couple of high school coaches from West Virginia go out to the state championship games. One guy from here, Coach Fairs, has been out there. And then another coach, Coach Mays, I've seen stuff he's put. It's like a mecca, though. People are just drawn to it.
Yeah.
And because if you coach high school football in a different state, that's like, what? There's 47,000 people at a high school game? You're crazy.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Like, yeah. And then the 6A has like 55,000, 60,000. It's such a cool deal the way they do it. I don't like the neutral sites so much because we'd rather play in the weather. You know, we'd rather go back the way it was 10, 12 years ago. That can benefit us, high winds, cold, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there are great parts about it. It's so cool how they start from six-man football. We'll have two of those, you know, smaller field. The goalposts are moved, all, you know, and every day it just gets bigger, bigger, bigger. It starts like on Wednesday morning, and they end up having like 14 state championships all the way to, you know, the Saturday night 681. There's, you know, 55,000 people there, and rosters of, you know, 200 kids on each sideline and massive bands. It's so cool when you look back to the first one and you got two little schools, you know, with 82 kids in each school playing six man or something. It's just such a neat seeing the difference in it all.
That is,
and
so
it matters
cool.
And it matters to all of them, you know.
Oh yeah.
Matters to all the same.
Yeah, for sure. How many coaches are on your staff there at Liberty Hill?
In the high school or the whole like junior highs? And
Well, let's go piece by piece. High school, how many are on the high school staff?
We have 13 football coaches in the high school.
In the high school, like teaching in the high school?
Yes.
Wow.
You can't coach in Texas unless you are a full-time employee in the school district.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so wow.
We don't have truck drivers or lawyers or, you know, guys like other states. Some have where they come in and coach where you have to be an educator in the school building to coach there.
Okay. And then is your junior high connected to the high school?
Yeah, we have two, but we're right at the point where we're opening a second high school, which is really going to change Liberty Hill. They're open with a ninth grade center next year. So the one junior high that's only 4 years old It's going to go to the new high school, and then the original, the Liberty Hill Junior High, feeds into us. And each of those have 6 football coaches in them. So that's another 12 we had under us this year. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, Coach. And we, like we were talking about before the podcast started, I thought you had to know the secret handshake to talk slot T football. And you were like, yeah, that's kind of what people think.
Yeah, secret decoder ring or secret handshake. But as I was telling you, like at Liberty Hill, anyone that will take the time and wants to come and visit us, we'll give them everything we got.
Right.
We will try to learn from them and teach them everything we know.
That's awesome. So why the slot T? Where does this come? Where did it come from? Like, what's the background? You know what I mean? Like, this is new to me. I was a wing T guy growing up. So like slot T is similar, but it's not the same thing.
I'm going to mess this up. I wish we got another guy on our staff who's just a great historian of it all. I'm going to mess up the names and things, but I'll just give it like total general basics. There's a couple of guys in West Texas and very successful coaches. And back in the day, they wanted to take the best parts of the wing tee, what they considered, you know, the best series, or, you know, of the wing tee, the power eye, and the veer. And melded those three together, came up with, I'm not going to say a different formation, because we do run more than one formation, but not very often. But like our A set is similar to X, or the wing set. If you took your flanker out and you brought him in and kind of made him a second tight end. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on the wing tee, you've got the kid on the tight end there. We call it our set. He's back over kind of like over the strong tackle, equal to the fullback. And then where their halfback, I think it would call, be beside the fullback, he's up in that slot for us on the quick side. Mm-hmm. So when he goes in what we call like deep Tom motion, 200 series Tom motion, when that ball snap, we're in the power eye. He's right behind the fullback, and we're in the power eye at that point. He's also there shorter Tom motion for what we can do that's, you know, a little different than the wing tee with that guy flared out and the other back is we can run trap sweep, bootleg, and drop back off trap sweep equally to both sides. It's absolutely equal, strong side, quick side. Mm-hmm. So it's not going towards, you know, the tight end side. You know, we are bigger usually on the strong end side than the quick side. But 349, which is the buck sweep into the slot, the tailback and the swing man, the smaller guys, it's a huge play for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a wild melding of those three styles of offense.
It really is. Thank goodness for those guys, man, because it has just been it's really impacted my whole coaching career. And we love it. I was going to say I love it, but Liberty Hill, we just absolutely, we love what we do. We feel like it gives us an incredible chance to beat, have a chance to beat better talents when we get there, deeper into the playoffs. And it's just, you know, it's just a whole order of football. It is an order of football. I like to call it the if-then offense. You know, if they're going to do this, then we're going to do that. We, not saying we have all the answers, but we feel like we can get an answer. We might not get it in time sometimes. Or we may not be able to get the kids to execute for some reason. But we feel like there is an answer to anything they throw at us. Any stunt, gap, blitz, front, anything, we can you know, answer it.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about it was a melding of those three styles of offense, but what style do you lean more? Is there one you lean more towards usually? Like, hey, we run more of these style of plays?
Without a doubt, the misdirection, the wing tee, our A set, our 300 series consistently is the biggest series for sure. And it is trap, sweep, bootleg both ways. Not many bootleg passes thrown, but lots of trap and sweep.
Right. And
I mean, we'll get into games where, you know, it's a lot more power. It's a lot more 400 or G series or 200, which becomes our power eye with what looks like an option, but it's loaded. We're not optioning anybody. It can look, you know, we can get into games where we become much more power oriented for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, if we play teams just phenomenal at reading guards and we can't seem to false key them and, you know, nothing's going that way. And we just say, what are we doing? Let's go right at them, you know, and we end up sometimes having some success, and that's how we get ourselves out of a hole, just going back to power football. But overall, first thing we install is the 300 series, And we're going to define, we're going to establish that misdirection big time, and our kids sprinting to the line of scrimmage. And we just want to be a purple wave when that ball snapped. Just, you know, guys on angles, ball carriers going everywhere, and fakes happening everywhere.
The sprinting to the line of scrimmage. How often, I mean, obviously you guys do it all the time from what I've seen, which we talked about. So how much are you worried about line splits and like their vertical alignment to the ball? Or, you know what I mean? Because it's happening so fast. And like line calls, like are there line calls? Like are there not? It's just going so quick. You know what I mean? Like it's wild to watch. Like you guys run the ball and the ball gets snapped. And you're like, what the? You know?
Yeah. I'll try to, that's a couple of questions there. Like the lines, the splits, because we've been running so long, our kids are pretty good with them. They just have that feel. You know, sometimes you get a new starting guard or something, he's always too tight or something, you know, coaches are just constantly harping on him to move out, move out, move out. The depth, they're pretty good with having an aim point on the center. He goes up there early. He leaves the huddle way before. So he's set, his feet are set, and they line up, the helmet on his hip. The line calls, it'd be great clinic talk, coach, for me to say, oh yeah, our kids get up there and make their line calls every time, but there's no way they do.
Yeah, there's no way.
We're on them all the time. And we know there's kids, you know, they're going to make line calls when it's coming right behind them, you know, when it's critical, and forget when it's going away or, you know, that kind of thing. No doubt. And sometimes it's just too fast going away, coming at you, whatever. We're snapping that ball so fast. Sometimes our kids don't get the calls in.
That's okay.
Man, I'd like to say, yeah, we have a philosophy that we're going to go so fast that I don't mean every play, but eventually our goal is to just wear people out. So it's just that purple wave coming at you, and we're just waiting for you, your linebacker, to take a step the wrong way. And if we're on our angles and doing it, you know, doing our thing, then we're going to get you. We're going to pop it and be out of there. It is a, you know, we do get a lot of feedback from defensive coordinators that we thought we had you, but that just, it just kept coming. Our kids would come off and they're just, you know, they slunk lower and lower and lower. And they just said it was just faster than anything they could have come close to simulating in practice.
Yeah. And what made you guys go to the sprint to the line and snap it?
Yeah, that was a big time Jeff Walker thing, who was our head coach for years, and he passed away of cancer in 2021. And his brother Kent took over, our defensive coordinator, and he, big believer in the slot T, wanted to keep it, you know, keep everything rolling and everything same way it was going. But Jeff's mind just worked towards everything going faster. How can that football, from the moment we leave the huddle to, how can that football be 2 yards downfield before the defense has a clue what's going on and who has the ball? So sprinting to the ball, if you go back to Liberty Hill when they won state 06, 07, they were going for the ball pretty good, but they were still on two long snap counts, hollering up color number. Sometimes it would look kind of fast on quick. Sometimes it would slow down. And the running wasn't, it was a year before I got there in 2018. The year I got there, we talked and we said, let's do it. He had the idea and we said, let's get rid of, I won't get into it all, but in the slot T, there's color and numbers and some long cadences. And we just said, what if we just cut it to, you know, everything on quick is red, and on one it's ready hit, and on two it's ready hit as fast as we can go. And we jumped off. That was not our first, my first year 5 years ago. We made it to the quarterfinals, but we struggled early in the year. We had a lot of offsides. It was a walk on the wild side to our kids. And we thought, should we go back? And we said it, but we were never even considering it. We thought, when we get this and we can go fast all the time, it's going to be a huge benefit to us. You know, and Jeff's mind just worked that way all the time. How can things go faster? And that's one, learned many, many things from him, but that was one. You always look at a play of, whether it's the guards, whether it's the halfback, you know, whatever, how can the play go faster? How can it be hitting the line of scrimmage quicker? You know, one thing that I think was fantastic to learn, because I, as a head coach, I always tried to go fast and never like, how is Liberty Hill going that fast? You know, and Jeff sometimes made things so simple. He just told the quarterback in practice, don't worry about anybody being set. We'll get that kid. We'll get that swingman down the end. We'll holler at him up that way. You know, we'll get him right. But as soon as the quarterback starts peeking around, the halfback behind him back there knows he's going to look. I got time. It snowballs and everybody. So he would just run up there and snap the ball. And they got on kids in practice. And, you know, the program's really rolling. Kids don't want to let it down. So kids just know. They just, you know, sprint. They fire those hands down. And we get a lot of coaches, you know, just screaming and hollering that we're not set. And there's no doubt sometimes we aren't set. You know?
Right.
We get away with some when we get called some. We've had games where we've got called three times in the first half, but we will not slow down.
Yeah, that's so cool, Coach. I have a friend of mine in Ohio that they're the same way. And I just think that is such a unique thing, especially like as people are preparing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying to get a scout team to replicate that.
And yes.
I mean, the defense has to line up for you. Like, you know where they're going to be. Like, cause they can't flip or you better be set.
Yes.
You know, at the ball, ready to go.
Yes, that's one thing this really did. Tuesday used to be stunt day, and you bring all these stunts, and you're mad at the fun team kids because they're not coming at the right time, and clipboards are throwing. Everybody's frustrated. You have to do it four times before the guard picks up the blitz through A gap and all this stuff. And once we started going fast, people they can't do it. And the good defensive coordinators know, and they stay in their base, or, you know, they might have a wrinkle or two, but they are going to have a really hard time stunting against this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And when you install, like, what are you thinking first? Are you like a trap, buck, waggle, or okay. Is that,
no, it's just, like I said, it's the 300 series is going in first. Mm-hmm. Which is the wing, you would call the wing T series. Our 300s is the wing T. It's all the misdirection. Every series has misdirection for sure. Every one of them. Because once you get one tackle trap in, you can run it off two or three different formations and series.
Right.
Snap counts. That's another thing cool about our offense is the snap count is married to the series.
Oh, okay.
So the quarterback, in theory, could not even call. And I know I'm getting off track and we go back to where we were.
No, this is good. Yeah, keep going.
In theory, the quarterback could not say the play in the huddle. A right, Tom, 234, 236. Say on 2-on-2, we say it twice. But they, if they know it's 200 series, it's on 2. And they've known that since the 7th grade.
Oh, wow.
If it's a 300 series with Tom motion, it's on 1. Without Tom motion, it's on quick. 400 series with Tom is on 1. Without Tom, without motion, it's on quick.
Mm-hmm.
600 series is always on quick. So, you know, our 600s are our jet series with tons of misdirection, and it's on quick. And so in theory, you can leave the huddle and the quarterback forget, or you not hear the quarterback as we're sprinting to the line. You know, it's 6-8. It's on quick.
Mm-hmm. 6-8. Also, I like that.
That also makes us vary the snap count naturally.
Right.
You know, we have to put it on the quarterback to be changing it up, and kids have to really focus. They just, after a while, they just know 200 series is on 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got an old saying, 200 series is on 2. It's always been on 2. It'll always be on 2.
Always be on 2. You know what I find interesting? The 200 series is interesting to me. Like, that's the one I'm watching. I'm going, this is unique. Like, I've seen wing T, I've seen power eye. Like, what is the 200 series to you? Because there's trap, but then there's like the 8 home run thing. Like, that's a wild
eight,
series.
Oh, 8 hole reverse?
Oh, hole reverse. I'm sorry. I didn't know what HR was. 8 hole reverse. Okay. That's what
eight hole,
okay.
8 hole reverse is actually the 300 series.
It's okay. Yeah. There's a 200 one where I was like, this is wild. Like, he opens like it's.
You know, it used to be the first series people installed in the slot T.
Okay.
Coach Bush, the great coach here in Texas, one of the godfather of the slot T, taught so many of us, and through his family, like the family tree of his coaching, and he would always install the 200 series first. When I say 300 first, that's kind of, on Liberty Hill, we've changed, evolved to that. Used to establish the fullback and power football, but we only run 3 plays in the 200 series. We've got the power, the kick out that right looks like an option with the fullback and the tailback in motion. You know, and it's not. It's a load. We know if we're kicking or isoing on the linebacker. We know who we're going to double team. All that before we go, everyone's going to get blocked. Then we have 228, which everybody makes fun of, where it's a full ride, and we like basketball chest pass that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
12 yards out there. Everybody makes fun of that. So why don't you just pick it up and throw it? But that really stretched the edge of the defense if they're, you know, picking it. And then we have a tackle trap off it. So every back, fullback, halfback, tailback, if they're fast flowing on that, we have a tackle trap to the halfback, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That series is just three plays.
Yeah. And then like you guys can ISO with the halfback or kick out depending on front is what I was looking at. And that's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. That's easy stuff. It's just, and that's a great thing of how that series used to be on two and used to call out like set blue 400 ready hit. That's a ton of verbiage. I can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going back now, it blows my mind, but the blue 400 was telling everybody we're running the four hole. The quarterback said red 600 told everybody we run the six hole.
Right.
That's all predicated on whether the strong tackle's covered or not.
Right.
If the strong tackle's uncovered, he and the strong guard double, strong end bases and halfback leads on near linebacker. If the strong tackle's covered, he and the strong end double, guard's going to linebacker, halfback's kicking out the nine on the strong end. We're running just slightly wider. We don't change anything in the backfield. The fullback's just going to slide to the hole. But that was the toughest one. When I talk about 5 years ago, when Coach Jeff Walker, when we were discussing going, it was a 200 series, was a tough one. And we realized that the linemen are going to get it. That strong tackle can run up there. They can remember, I'm the guy covered. It's me and the strong end. I'm always in a double team. I'm uncovered. I'll double with the strong guard. The toughest one was the halfback because he's banking on a line call and we're going fast now. We cut out all that. We're just ready, hit.
Mm-hmm.
So he's banking on a line call, which he may or may not hear, and that strong tackle may or may not make.
Right, yeah.
You know, or the strong guard type of thing. And if it's a big stadium loud, he might not hear it. So what we've pretty much gotten down to is just he is going straight ahead like 234. It's kind of the old cloudy clear thing. If he sees a big hole, he's just leading. And sometimes when he's getting out of stance, you know, if we're playing a 3-4 team, that's just dyed in the wool 3-4. He knows he's kicking out 99%. You know, if they don't move their front or anything, he's getting down stance. Even if the tackle doesn't make a call, he's right behind him at 3 yards, you know, 4 yards. He can look and see that tackle's covered. I'm kicking out. So it wasn't as hard as we thought. It was just getting the halfback to just not be hesitant and go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. And then I saw the power eye. I was like, oh, I didn't know slot two was power eye, you know, because I've watched some of your clips of games on YouTube and I'm like, oh, okay, so they got the eye too, because we've run the eye different places I've been. And
oh, hang on now, power eye is full, you know, fullback, halfback, and tailback behind him. You're talking still the tailback in the slot,
like you guys, there's some clips and stuff you sent me, there's like a fullback, that's, tailback, yeah, and like a guy in the slot. Yeah,
that's, we call that O-set. That's not I.
O-set. Okay.
Yeah, I is the tailback back in the eye. And okay. The halfback, you'd be a true power eye. It'd be
true power eye.
Okay. The fullback, and we don't run that at Liberty Hill. That's O set.
Okay.
So you still got like your tackle traps because your tailback's right there. You got quick side power, strong side power. You can run 8-hole reverse out of that A set or O set. But yeah, that's just a slot to you. Everyone's like, you're in the eye. No, we're in the O.
Right. Yeah. I'm the O.
It's
right.
The halfback back there. Yeah.
That 8-hole reverse play, like, I had to watch it a bunch. What is the quarterback's motion? Like, who's he faking? What is he opening?
Yep.
Like, wow.
Yep. It is that and the fullback trap off that 3-3-3 tailback ground, because it's got 8-hole action. But those two plays have more misdirection than anything in the offense. I mean, it's just an absolute starburst in the backfield. You know, it happens so fast. And really, you know, you can break it down. I think we used to be much more mechanical, and that goes back to Jeff Walker's mind of everything going faster. And the quarterback now, it used to be, and I won't get into it all, but he'd come out, he's got a cowboy, he's got drop step, cowboy step, and that just becomes second nature after a while. They got to pull out of there fast, get away from the guards, but he would seat the ball, and the fullback, he's gone. You don't have time to fake to him, but it used to be in the old that you'd give a hand to the halfback and your head would follow him, and then you'd reach to the tailback. And get that ball pretty much on the midline, you know, straight back. We don't do any of that now in terms of faking. We are literally, we're coming out of there, fullback's gone, he's an A-gap passing us, And we are literally following the halfback, already getting on our fake. And our kids sometimes are wrapping it around his low back to get it to the tailback. Like, that's how close it is.
Oh, wow.
But everything is to try to make sure everything's going faster. I always wondered why Liberty Hill's 8-hole keep looked so much, it was just better than other people ran it. So I got there. It's because that quarterback's already moving. You know, he's not waiting. You know, when I would run it, I would, you get there and give it to that tailback. He had to get going. You know, he had his feet had stopped. He'd done this fake to the halfback, and then he had to get going again. Well, that little get going, the defense is figuring it out, kind of, you know, and that's a play that can be a big play sometimes when, like, just not run very often ever, where the quarterback just kind of keeps it. But it's huge, and he's already moving at all times. That's when we coach our quarterbacks, it is eyes are on the feet at all time. Those feet cannot stop. They're moving the whole time. In theory, that's what we're aiming for.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the play action game, obviously, because the run game is so good. It's just, the guys are usually running wide open.
Yeah.
Like, hey, nobody covered it.
Sometimes we can't hit them, and sometimes we hit them and drop it. But yeah, we take a lot of, you know, flack for not throwing the ball much. And we understand, like, you know, people want to see the ball in the air. We had a rough start this year. We ended up 10-5 in the semifinals. That's not a good year in Liberty Hill. Like, to go 6-4 in the regular season, things were really touch and go for a while. And I think we threw, just outrageous for us, like 52 passes this year or something like that. And that's so much more than, you know, in 15 games. The year before, we were 13-2, and we threw 21 passes. So that's a little more. 15 games, 21 passes. That's a little more our ratio usually. And it's not that we don't like to throw the ball or, you know, don't want to. Just, you know, the last couple of years, we've been averaging close to 10 yards a carry every time we hand the ball off. And it's just hard to pull that trigger sometimes when you're just, you know, things are going.
Yeah. If you can hand it off and get 10.
Yeah.
I mean, that's guaranteed.
Yeah, obviously you're not getting that every play, but you take in all the big plays, and then you look back and you think, yeah, why are we looking at throwing the ball when we're averaging 9.5 or 10 yards a carry amongst all our backs? So it's an enjoyable offense. There's no doubt. We like it.
Yeah, and it's so cool to see how it's been run for so long, and at your place, and like every level runs it, which, and that's,
it's not just seventh grade too. I mean, we got dads here in the community. It's run well in like the third grade when they start playing Pop Warner, second, third grade, they're running 8-hole reverse and 3-3-3 tailback around. they're learning rules way back then. I got a good buddy who coached it for years and years, and he was adamant that those kids learned their rules and learned how the high school did it. So that's pretty cool.
That's really cool. I mean, that's something that, you know, I think good high school programs do. You build it, right? Whatever your flavor is, you build it, and the youth leagues run it. And then if you have a junior high, they run it, and then you can make it consistent.
Yes, absolutely. And that's, I think, Liberty Hills, you know, it's been real fortunate that since the slot T came in 2000, we've had three head coaches. But everyone just huge believers in slot T. You know, it wasn't any question. Two have been defensive guys, Jerry Vance and our coach now, Kent Walker, defensive guys, defensive coordinators. Fully bought in.
What defense do you see the most?
Well, it depends what year you ask me. You know, we get the people's defense or flavor of the year. You know, it seems like it shifts over the years. I remember a few years back, man, it seemed like everybody was running a 5-3 stack. And it feels like this year, and maybe it was this, you know, PNG beat us the last 2 years in the semifinals, and they do an outstanding job running the base 3-4. And they're really great at their keys and their reads and big old kids, and they're really well coached. And I think a lot of people have gone to that and run the 3-4. And sometimes we see it only the week we play them, you know,
it
might be a 4-3 and we get out there and they're running 3-4. So,
Which
usually people who make a wholesale change, we're going to have our way with them 9 times out of 10, just because if kids are, first of all, they got to learn something totally different in 3 days. And then their coach is changing fronts on them or are trying to do multiple fronts. They may get us for a while, but usually we can figure it out and our kids will execute and go get it.
Mm-hmm. I remember I did a study. I didn't go out there or anything, but I studied Katie's defense a couple of years back. Oh. They were 3-4 quarters, like almost every play from what I gathered.
Yes. Gary Joseph, his son is the head coach at Port Neches Groves.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's exact same 3-4. Yeah. And our head coach, Kent Walker, he spent a lot of time out with Katie as well. We were in 3-4. A lot of similarities.
And, you know, 3-4, 50, whatever people call it. When you watch college football and you watch guys like the service academies, well, what do they run? You know, they don't have the best dudes necessarily, but helps them stay competitive and be really good some years.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's, we've got great kids in Liberty Hill and we'll get a few, like, you know, we got a kid playing Army right now. They played in the 2021 team and stuff, but, I'm 5 years there going on 6 year and we have not had a guard over 185 pounds yet.
Oh, wow.
In the first couple of years, I could say we haven't had a guard over 170 pounds.
Right. So, yeah.
In 5A football, we are, you know, we're not now those kids are all running 4.8, 4.85. They're, you know, they can go and they have to play, you know, stay in front of our backs and to do what we ask them to do. We're not looking for a big, you know, 230 pound jug butt guard who can't, you know, power steering and stuff. It'd be great to have one
there. Right. Yeah, for sure.
If he ran 4.8.
Yeah. Yeah,
power steering.
So we don't get them. What does your practice schedule look like? What does a Tuesday in season look like for you to get your guys ready to play?
Yeah. Our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are very, very similar. Wednesday, we do a little bit of goal line. And Monday, Tuesday, we hit the sled at the end of practice. We do sled and cage, the whole team. Wednesday, we don't. We pull back a little bit. But it's very people who are not in the slot T are surprised at how much team we do. And I grew up, you know, hearing that coaches don't know what to do. They scrimmage. You know, they don't know how to, you know, that mentality. They just get in team and run plays. But there's no way we can. I mean, we have our individual periods at the beginning of backs where they're working blocking skills and things like that. But it's all operates so closely together. It's very hard to do anything in small groups. Like, you know, with a quick side, we can do some strong side, quick side, and we do sometimes maybe if our kids aren't physical enough. But really, people are surprised when they come and see us and we don't hit it all in practice. You know, they think, oh, you're so physical. You know, you guys must just be, they think we're going to be, you know, knocking down the dirt and scrimmaging. And we just have kids that holding bags. And it's too much to ask a kid. We probably are going to run anywhere between 180 and 200 plays in a practice with two huddles. I mean, two huddles going. I mean, it's just a constant going the whole time. And it, you know, you just can't ask a kid to fire off and, you know, get in a stance and knock him and drive him 150 times. You know, it's easy. They're gonna start brother-in-lawing each other. I mean, that doesn't make them soft or anything. It's just not, and they'd be completely wore out by Friday night. So, if we're gonna expect kids to go that fast off the ball, just running off the ball, be downfield, and all those things, it's just. There's just philosophy and we've stuck with it. We can't have them smashing the heck out of each other all week. But yeah, I don't know how much I answer your question there. We're always going to start once we come together with trap drill and sweep drill. And we don't huddle in that time. And we're going to run all our traps against, you know, Monday, it's going to be against two different defenses. Tuesday, we're going to go against three different defenses, and Wednesday, we're going to run against two more. Sometimes what we think they're going to be in, we come back to that Wednesday. But we're going to run every trap with huddle one, huddle two, but they're not huddled. They stay up there. We call the play. They run the play, sprint back, get right down. We call the next play, and they go. Mm-hmm. When we go to what we call team, which some people, you're in team there. You're going 11 on 11, but we're just working strictly trap, then sweep. Then we work on power and pass. And then we are in huddles, and now we're working at running and sprinting the ball just constantly. I mean, we don't even a lot of times have, we double a kid, 234, 8 yards downfield, poor JV kid when he falls over or something, you know, the second huddle's already running there. He's not back to being a five technique by the time, we don't wait on him. We just go. I mean, that doesn't happen very often, but we're not going to slow down waiting for, you know, Oompa Loompa to run back and get lined up and, you know, so we can run the play. We're just going. We're going and going and going.
It's so interesting. I love talking to coaches like yourself and guys that are really good at what they do, because teams that play physical on game day, what I found doing this podcast is most people, most to all, I say pretty much all, practice like you're talking about.
Is that right? Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If we expect them to be war daddies, for lack of a better term, on Friday, we better leave something in the tank, so to speak. You know what I mean? Right. Don't kill them on Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, there's a style of football you're going to play, whether it's slot T, power T. You know, we're just going to get after it in practice, like you were saying. Like, it's timing, fundamentals, you know.
Yep. And we're not very physical early. Like, I don't mean that negatively, but usually it takes us to game three or four to really start hitting our stride. Mm-hmm. Because some kids don't have good technique early. They're a little high or, you know, they just don't, they're figuring it out on the go if they're a new starter or sometimes even returning. And but in going that fast all the time, I mean, like, I'm that backside strong end. We're running 3.49 the quick side. He is sprinting across the field. When you train yourself to go that fast over and over and over, it's kind of making you be physical. I mean, if you're going to slam into somebody as fast as you can run, you know, you're even if you're not real tough yet, you're going to, it's going to be physical by nature. There's two things that get us there to being physical. And that's the going fast all the time in practice, that we were trained to go fast in a game, but it's our offseason, it's our weight room too. Our weight room is unparalleled. Everybody's going to say they believe in the weight room, but it's a different level of belief in Liberty Hill. We, I guess you could say every day's boot camp in that weight room. We are going to challenge them, test them, and it is a gut check 5 days a week. We do legs Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They squat two different stations. It's 6 days, you know, 60 minutes of just I go, you go, I go, you go, as fast as they can on command. We don't even use this is really interesting to people who come in. I'm so used to it, done it for so long, but we don't have like percentage cards or it's just if coach does this, it means put more weight on, you know, and they know as fast as they can. We are going to absolutely wear them out just with sometimes a station. If we're doing sets of three and a 9 minute squat station, we might get 17 or 18 sets in if you and I are working together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a they are trained to go for four quarters. That's before I got to Liberty Hill, I'd always go, man, every single kid has hamstring and rear end developed. Like every one of them has, you know, really developed hamstrings and, you know, big butts and not big, but, you know, they're filling out their pants, you know, big time. There's no skinny, you know, rear ends over there. And you come by our weight room and you quickly understand why.
Yeah, coach. I mean, this is like gospel. It's just so it's so refreshing to hear this style of football.
It's old school, isn't it?
Because it is, man. And like my high school was like that. Like we won two state championships junior senior year, and it's like that style works. Like it still works. It's not like you have to go find a different way to do it. Absolutely. Like that still. Absolutely. Makes it happen, man.
And we believe it's you know, we have that big, much bigger benefit that now that everybody runs the same mile, everybody runs the spread, because that you know, strong safety outside linebacker that's covering the number two receiver his whole career, he plays us, he's got to come on and take on a kick out guard now. You know, he's been covering the slot receiver and, you know, kind of looking for GT and playing CBA, but against us, it's, you know, it's strong guard coming at him play after play after play on sweep, or he's got to sprint and chase across the field. And that's, you know, a lot of times we'll face kids. They're tough kids. I'm not dogging them. There's a lot of tough kids out there. And they'll rock our guards early and, you know, bloody their noses and all that. But over four quarters, it's kind of like you see them start to look over the coach, you know, like it's they're again, they're used to covering the number two receiver, you know, tighten up a little bit in the tight end. Three times a game they got one or something. It's a whole different world when you play us. Our guard may not be tougher than that kid, but over four quarters he will look tougher a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. So when you were talking about your play series, how do you guys differentiate like right and left? Do you do like a traditional number series, or how does that work for you guys? Like run the play left, run the play right.
Play is going right and left.
Yeah, where the play is going. Yeah.
Well, we're flipping our line, right?
Right. Okay.
Completely flipping our line. Like we have A right, A left, or O right, O left. Every formation right. we have, we can run it either way. Okay. And, you know, strong side kids just know if it's called, they go with the strength. If it's A right, strong side goes right, quick side goes opposite. If it's A right. left, strong side goes left. And, you know, to coaches who've never coached in that, that coaches struggle with more than kids because I learned it young coming to Texas and I struggle with it for a year. You know, it's just seemed like so much going on. Oh, now we're flipping the line, running the same play over here. Mm-hmm. But to a kid, it's easy. You know, if I'm a strong tackle, I got my four hole here and I got my six hole here. And if we go left, then I just pick up my holes and take them over there. We're running the same play over there.
I got you. Okay.
So it's like you're doubling your playbook. You know, right. if you want to pick on a defensive end or run away from a stud defensive end, you know, you can go a whole half running 90% away from that D1 defensive end or linebacker if you want. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're going to figure that out eventually, and those guys are frustrated, and then, you know, we come back at them maybe later more. But, yeah, we think it's a huge, huge benefit. We're old school. We don't have a zero or one hole. Maybe that's a little different than slot T, but we're 2-4-6-8 hole on the strong side and 3-5-7-9 on the quick side. So okay. our plays – people laugh at them. They say it sounds like 1963 Vince Lombardi stuff. But, you know, it's A right Tom 332, R right Tom 328, 319 run. They all have three. There's a series. Mm-hmm. There's the first number. The back who's getting the ball is the second number, and the last number is the hole we're running.
So that if let's say you're strong right, you're running towards the tackle. That's the sixth hole. But if you go strong left, the sixth hole now goes to the other side.
Still 234, 236. It's the same play. Absolutely.
So like you can call 236, but that could be to the left because the strong side is to the left now.
Yep.
I got you. Okay. So that was what I was watching your stuff. Like now it makes sense. Now my brain's like, I got it. Okay.
Yeah. And it's always a fun sell. Like when I would go, if I had gone in somewhere new back in the day as a head coach, you know, or even an offense coordinator, you're stalling it. But as a head coach, I remember going in teams that run spread or whatever. And you know, you're in day one, you know, whatever you put in, you say, you know, how many plays we learned to count? Like, 6. No, 12, guys. We put in 12 plays. And they're all confused. You're like, you've got the same play over here and here and over, you know, you got the same plays going both ways. That's 12 different plays to the defense. So, you know, it's a little selling point.
That's good, though. And I've heard of people doing that, but I've never seen my own film do it. You know what I mean? It was like an urban legend. Then I watch your film, I'm talking to you going, oh, okay, yeah, like that.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Absolutely second nature to us, you know, like our kids, they're not confused by it. Again, it's coaches who've never done it. They're, like when I came to Texas and started learning, I was struggling big time that first year. I'm like, yes, well, wait a minute. You know, it just blew my mind for a while. But then once I got it, you know, the kids will pick it up pretty fast if you're competent as a coach. You know, as a coach, they'll pick it up pretty fast because they're not worried about everybody else. They're just worried about their little world and, you know. Mm. They've got to do.
That's like the traditional wing T numbering. It's like 1-9 left to right. I've had friends coach in that system and they said for the first year, it's like, but then once you get it, maybe not a year. I mean, I'm saying within the first year,
yes,
you just, it clicks. And you're like, okay, I got it. You know?
Right.
Cause it's just how you do it.
Yeah. The slot T definitely is its own verbiage. Like we'll say stuff and people just double take, like, what language are you speaking? And to us, I've been speaking for 27 years now. It's like old hat.
And what's cool though, from talking to you, like that hasn't changed much since the beginning.
No.
Like it's just that language has stayed the same.
Yeah.
Which is so, that's like Mike Leach in the air raid when he was still living. Like he used the same terminology forever.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you say 8-hole reverse to any slot T coach or any, you know, they know exactly what's going on. Most defensive coordinators are in our area pretty much know all the play call. You know what I mean? A lot of them know it too. Pushed against it a long time, they can say it all, formation, motion, play, everything. Now getting their kids to, you know, react and do it fast is always another thing.
Mm-hmm. Does your quarterback come over to get the play?
No. We're old school. We send, we usually have that position, the smaller tight end, the swing man, he runs in the play.
Front
of the middle. Yep. And takes it there. We've had a problem with people, or not problem, but people try to, so unsportsmanlike, they and some officials just are so mixed up on this, you know, the old substitution rule. So they will just waddle a, you know, tubby defensive tackle off once our swing man goes in, you know, knowing that they've got time, and they just try to slow down all our timing. So you know, we run up there and then we have to wait, you know, because while some kids taking a sweet time jogging off the field, officials have gotten better. This, I think, happened to Liberty Hill the first time about 6 years ago, and a lot of people started to copy it and slow everything down. And we've gotten better. We'll just stay in the huddle. But it's gotten so crazy, though. We will send a play in with like 20 seconds. And for us, that means we're snapping the ball with like 12 seconds, even with a kid running in the, on the field. By the time 20 seconds running into the huddle, calling the play, sprinting the ball, we're still snapping with 12 seconds left.
Yeah.
But we have done that and gotten a penalty, because this is the strength. The official wouldn't let us snap the ball because a kid was jogging off the field.
Oh, you talk about losing your minds.
That was really – and then a little huddle of the officials, and they're like, yeah, we got to fix this. We can't call a penalty on a team that's trying to snap the ball, and we won't let them.
Right. So
most officiating staff has gotten that one worked out, but that's become a little – thing people try to use to slow us down.
Well, when you're good, people are going to try to find any way they can.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
The best part is just hearing them scream all game long. There's always one coach on the other sideline, usually, they're not set. He'll just wear the officials out, saying we're not set on almost every play, and officials aren't going to call it. You're just, you know, kind of chuckling the whole time.
Coach, that is so good.
Man, and there's sometimes we're not set, but we are set. We're just set for, we're stretching that 1 second, maybe a little bit down to about a half second. But
yeah, but you do it all the time. People just like, okay, they're set.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. That is so good, man.
Yeah, we've had times where we look back and we have a kid who doesn't even have his hands close to the ground. They're this far from the ground. They're going down. We snap the ball and they didn't call it.
So. Well, it's a massive humanity too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because you're running.
Right. Yep.
That's a lot for official to look at.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That is so good, Coach. Man. Coach, thank you for taking your time to do this. I am so just grateful that you responded to my text. You're like, who's this West Virginia number? Like, who's this guy? Sending me a text message.
I tell you, I'm such a big West Virginia fan, like I said, because I call it my church. I got so many close friends there. Been going there for like online for 4 years, and I just love those people up there, man. I love it. I'd go up there anytime. I'm trying to take my daughter up there this summer. Fairmont. Just love it.
I will miss living here, and it's just a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It really is. Beautiful people. The hills are. Yeah, it's just beautiful and great people, man.
Yeah. Wild connection for me, too. And I forget this one sometimes, but my college coach in Canada, at the University of Waterloo, it's about an hour outside Toronto. He's been surpassed, but when he retired back in, I don't know, 2000 or something, he was the winningest college coach in Canada. Total wins. He is from Fairmont, West Virginia.
No joke.
Yeah, absolutely. He became a high school coach in Ohio and ended up getting a head coaching job at Wilfrid Laurier, another college in Canada. So every game we played in college, we'd hit the, you know, go out afterwards and you're in the pubs and all that type of thing. And they're blaring Country Roads, Take Me Home, Country Roads, West Virginia. They played it at halftime at our games. They played it at timeouts because our head coach was from West Virginia. A Tuffy Knight, kind of legendary guy up there, you know. So
that is awesome, man.
It's a small world. That's all. It's like it's all come full circle for me now with my church being there in Fairmont.
Yeah.
It's neat stuff. God works in mysterious and amazing ways.
Yes, he does. And he blows me away daily. That's for sure. I mean, it's
absolutely.
Yeah, without the Lord, man, I don't know where I'd be in my life. I know that's a fact.
Absolutely. Could there be a greater deal on earth? And I say that facetiously, there isn't, than saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You know, trust in his death, burial, and resurrection, and ye are saved. Present and past tense, by faith alone. It's the greatest thing ever.
You could be a preacher too, Coach.
I don't know, just go ahead with it.
You know what I mean?
I just love the Lord, man.
That's so cool, man. Yeah, and then I got to ask, did you eat a pepperoni roll when you came to Fairmont?
I have not. Paul Lucas, man. That preacher talks about him a lot.
I know.
See, I got to come back.
You got to come back.
Yeah.
You got to come back. We are now vegans, my wife and I, but we used to eat pepperoni rolls when we first moved here. And Fairmont is like the place they started, I think. It's very well known for that.
Funny you bring that up. The last time I was up there, it was a long, probably an hour discussion on pepperoni rolls.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Who was having that discussion?
All these guys from church. Yeah. Just came up. We were playing music one night, playing guitars and stuff. And you were talking about everything, you know, and pepperoni rolls came up. There's some other people from that town. Like, you got to get it. And I ran out of time. I'm next time for sure.
Yeah. And then now if you're in Fairmont, they're going to argue about what Italian place is better.
Okay.
Bartik can get kind of combative when it comes to the what Italian place is better.
Is that right? He likes his Italian, huh?
Oh yeah.
And he's one place in particular.
Oh, he said the name before. I just don't remember which name. What name he said.
But he's real partial to one place though.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a lifer there. I mean, he's been in Fairmont for his whole life. And they have a great nickname. I love the polar bears. That is so unique. I mean,
is that what they are? Okay.
They're the Fairmont Senior Polar Bears.
Okay. We got a team in Texas, a little tiny 2A called the Frost Polar Bears.
Oh, shoot.
In Texas.
Now, what's Liberty Hill? What are y'all? What's your nickname?
Panthers.
Panthers.
Nothing exciting. Yeah.
That's
one of the
cool.
Most common names, Panthers, Cougars.
Yeah. Yeah, especially that's part of the country.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great name though. The name of the town itself, Liberty Hill, it just got a good American ring to it, I think.
Is that like a Texas, like a war thing? Like
I don't know the history of it, to be honest. Okay. We're in the Hill Country, you know, all around from Austin to San Antonio, North Austin, San Antonio, around West Fredericksburg, and all that's really. I was blown away when I got to Texas, how hilly it is and looks like Northern California or something. You know, it's really nice. I just thought everywhere in Texas was like Friday Night Lights out in Odessa, you know, flat tumbleweed blowing, you know, stand on a tuna can, see 100 miles away, but it's not that way. In Central Texas, it's really pretty.
Mm. Yeah. I've seen just pictures of Odessa Permian Stadium and
yeah,
it's like, what the world? It's the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, it's a big town. It's a big oil town. You know, it's got about 100,000 people, I think. But yeah, West Texas is like a different world.
That is so cool.
You're not in the end of the earth, but you can see it from there.
Yeah, that's. I have family that is in the Mesquite area. My dad's side of the family is from there, and that used to be a small little outpost. Now it just you know. The metroplexes,
like five high schools, Mesquite. Yeah.
My dad's name is Storm, and my grandmother was the cheerleading coach, and so the Mesquite Skeeters, the mascot's name was Stormy or something like that.
Yeah.
Because she was a cheerleading coach.
Awesome. That's good stuff. The Mesquite Skeeters. That's right.
Mesquite Skeeters.
Yeah. The ugliest tree on earth, the mesquite tree.
Oh man, I gotta look this up now.
What's that?
I gotta look this up, but I'd have never seen that.
Yeah, just nasty old looking rickety trees, but they're great for grilling and barbecuing. Like, they're great dried out wood. They're perfect for barbecuing and smoking and stuff, but not the most pleasant to look at.
So I guess it's where the mesquite thing comes from for barbecue, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay.
One of those trees.
That is so cool, Coach. Well, man, thank you for doing this. I know I was talking like we're going to end it early, but I want to keep talking because you got me interested in something else. And I love podcasts. You can just keep going. I can use whatever you know, you talk about whatever you want.
Yeah.
That is cool, Coach. Well, man, I appreciate this. I'm sure we'll text because I'm gonna watch more of your tape, and man, I appreciate all
you get
doing
through that tape, the series tape I sent.
So I've gotten to like 40 minutes, but I want to go back through it and just like kind of slow go through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just,
yeah.
just.
I really need to update that. We haven't the last 2 years on there. And, you know, there's just some plays like 6:35, the off the jets, a quick hitting to the fullback really fast when they widen the end. And I think we have one on there. It's not very good at all. You know, it's just some fringer plays. You know, after a couple of years, you don't have really any good ones or you're against good fronts or whatever you're looking for. But last couple of years, like we have had just home, you know, just hit it, blocked it right, the whole nine yards, good stuff for teaching and showing the end widening and why we call, you know, when we would call it and stuff. But I got to get work on updating that. See, that's a bad format there, and we transferred it. I say a bad format, Movie Maker. I'm not a great tech guy, so I have trouble adding all that kind of stuff. But we're in the process of getting it all moved over to Huddle, and that'll be way easier to do all that stuff once all that. That older series tape is on there.
Right. Yeah. Huddle is awesome. I actually despise the new Huddle. I like the old Huddle Classic stuff.
Oh yeah. I always click on Huddle Classic. And that's a walk on the wild side for me. Anything tech takes me like 6 months to get comfortable with it. So I'm not going to the new Huddle.
Yeah.
They better not get rid of the Classic.
Yeah. And they just got rid of the old messaging system. Like it's a new messaging system. So like all the old messages, like you can look at them, but you can't message in them.
Right.
I was like, oh, this is, I'm just frustrated.
Yeah.
You know,
like
quit changing it. It was fine. Quit messaging.
Right. Right. I know. I never get that when they update or totally change things. It's like, there was no problem with it. Everybody was fully functioning and having a good time.
Yeah. I just, hey, if Huddle's listening, don't quit changing stuff. Stop. That's great, Coach, man.
Yeah. Well, I hope that was beneficial in some way with the slot T. Like, you know, I know we didn't get deep into stuff and I probably got scatterbrained at times.
That's good.
You ask about defensive or, you know, or practice schedules and things like that. You know, we enjoy what we do. And like I said, when people come, there's a small school in Kansas. I'm going to forget the name now. Great guys. And they won like, I don't know, they didn't win it this year, but they won like 5-6 state championships in a row. Like they're just dominant. And they came down and they were running like a 3-back, like something somewhat similar, but they put in 8-hole reverse and 3-3 tailback around. They wanted the most misdirection plays. And they were just texting, Coach, this is just, you know, they were already winning like crazy. Don't get me wrong, but they just thought it really helped them and took them to another level kind of thing. I think the people I struggle with the most, I mean, we're still going to help them and everything. When these guys were very established and they were very similar. And I mean, by established, I mean, very successful. I think when they came down the first time, they were at 3 straight championships and then went to 5. They came down a couple of years in a row. They were like similar and looking to add a few pieces. What's tough, I think, is people come in and they want to run the spread. They were a spread program, but they want to run 4 plays of the slot T. And that never works. It's so different. You're not gonna look like we run it or, you know, a slot T team runs it. And they expect that. They think that they come in thinking, you know, they can do that. And that'd be like us jumping in the shotgun. We would be like Ned in the third reader. You know, we'd be throwing at the tuba section and, you know, that wouldn't be our forte at all.
Yeah. It's got to fit your style of football.
Right. Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's why I'm studying it. Cause that's our style. And I'm like, I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like there's things I want to take and use.
You need to come down to Texas sometime.
I may do that next off season. We're moving this all season in the summer. But yeah, we'll stay in touch. But hey, let's go out to Texas.
There you go.
Take the whole staff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'd be absolutely great. Man.
How long have you been doing this podcast for, Coach?
Oh, 2017?
Oh, wow. I think
2017.
7 years or so. And is it weekly or?
Try to be.
Try to be.
Yeah. This will be your episode. Will be episode. This is 353. Yeah, It's 353. One of those. One of those numbers.
Either one's a lot.
Man, just keep at it. Like you were, off you talked about. Like if you just keep at it and keep doing it, like you just get good people on, and you know, you get to connect with people. And I have two boys. My wife and I just had twin boys, and they're 14 months old. And she was like, "You're building your football library for them." And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, listen to this whenever they want."
Absolutely, that's right. That's right.
And be like, who was dad and who did he talk to and who were his people, you know?
That'll be a great resource for them. They may not watch all 350, but man, to just be able to, you know what I mean? To just be able to pop on, watch dad talk, and to this guy, or, you know, this guy from Ohio or this guy from California, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I don't go back to listening to myself, but I go back, we're doing something during the season, the off season. I go, oh yeah, I talked to this guy a couple years ago. So I'll go back and click on the episode and like refresh my memory of what he said.
Right.
And then maybe shoot him a text or call him or email him like, hey, we talked about this, but you know, I need some more clarification or whatever.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Or I could make a trip to Texas next off season. That's one of those.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go. We can fly up. I'm like an hour from BWI. So it's not, we can't, you know, get on.
Oh, plane, is that right? That's where I flew into when I went to Fairmont. I know Pittsburgh's a lot closer, but it was a lot cheaper, like hundreds of dollars cheaper to go in. And I was going to rent a car anyway. So I didn't mind that. It's about a 3-hour drive through the mountains there. I thought it was awesome.
Oh, it's beautiful, man. Yeah. It is. Yeah. West Virginia is a place that we get a lot of tourists here because of that. People just think, man, this is like, where's all the people at? First of all.
Yes.
Where's all the people at?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I remember. Beautiful. Coach Fertig and I talking about that. I think it came up. There's about 2.5 or 3 million people in West Virginia.
1.7.
1.7. Okay.
That's it. That's all there is.
32 million in Texas now.
Because there's more people in Dallas than there is in West Virginia.
That's true. Yep. Dallas, San Antonio, and Houston. I'm sure either one of those would have more people.
Yeah.
Austin not far behind.
No.
Yeah, but it's great. I love it. I love West Virginia, man. Like I said, I got that connection from all the way back to college, and now my church being there and having so many good friends. It's just, I love it.
Mm. Absolutely, Coach. Your country roads take me home, you know?
That's right.
To the place I belong.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah, we will miss it here. We're moving to the great state of Maryland, but we'll come back because we have a bunch of good friends here, good people.
Good. There you go. Good Heck stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, Coach. Well, this has been a blast, man. I'm really excited that we did this. I'm jacked up, and I'm sure I'll be blowing your phone up as I watch more of your install tape.
Yeah, do it. Absolutely. Awesome, give me a reason to give me something to do in that world geography class.
Amen. So what are you teaching on this week? What are y'all learning?
World geography. We are just starting Asia, just left Africa and just going to Eastern Asia. We're finishing off the year, you know, China and India and Malaysian Peninsula and then Australia, and done. We only got 4 weeks of school left. So
nice.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. In Texas, y'all have your own teacher test, right? Like to be certified to teach classes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's cool, man.
Absolutely.
That's cool. Well, shoot, Coach, you take it easy. And I'll shoot you a text with the link to this podcast. And so
awesome.
You and your people can share it or listen to it or whatever you want to do.
I'll never listen to a guy. I hate the sound of my own voice, but
I understand.
I'll for sure. I'll send it to a friend or something. They can chuckle at me.
Heck yeah.
Great to meet you, Coach.
It's great to meet you too.
All right. Well, have a great evening.
You too.
Okay. Thanks.
See ya.